The book of Matthew chapter 6, let's start from that today. There's a series I've been talking about here and there. That's on our School of Prayer series. It's our School of Prayer again. We're still looking at this kingdom-centered way of praying. And there's something we discussed some time ago when we were talking about how to pray for your loved ones. And in that one, I explained this in details. I just want to apply it to this kingdom-centered praying that we have been talking about. So let's pick up from the book of Matthew chapter 6 and read from the Sermon of the Mount. The Lord Jesus was teaching us how to pray there. Now, I want to just bring out an issue here again, which we have looked at before from verse 5. He said, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, there's something I want to say from there. Let me just jump down. If we get down to verse 9, when he was now telling us how to pray, he said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And all of that. Now, there's a reason why I quickly read this, to bring out the fact that he said, your kingdom come. Now, there's something I want to remind us of, which we have discussed about here. But of course, we can't say these things enough. You have to keep on saying them until people come to understand the real meaning. It becomes a part of the fiber of their being. There are different kinds of prayer. You can divide things based on what you are trying to explain. I want to divide prayer into two types now. There's prayer that has a reward, and there's prayer that gets an answer. Now, all of them will get an answer. But apart from answer, there is what is called a reward of praying. It is just like the same thing as a reward of service. It's the same thing as reward of giving. It's a reward of anything that you do as a service unto the Lord. If you are praying for your own needs, it's not a service unto the Lord. You are praying for yourself. If you are praying for your children, you are praying for yourself. If you are praying for things that have to do with you and is blessing you as an individual, you are not really doing something as if it can still be interpreted through a long route to say it's a service unto God, but directly it is a service that is benefiting you, you know, yourself. So it's slightly different. So you do not get a reward for that, even though you do get an answer. For example, here, the Lord Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. If I'm the one taking the daily bread, when God gives me the daily bread, that is the answer for my prayer. However, the Lord Jesus pointed out here that certain kinds of prayer bring forth a reward. There is a difference between a reward and an answer. There is a world of difference. A reward is that this is given to you for service that was done. And so the Lord Jesus was saying here, you will find out that Pharisees, the hypocrites, they used to pray like this. They will stay loudly in the synagogues. They will stand and pray in the synagogues loudly. And they will pray on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Now, the loudness of the prayer is what I want to talk about. Now, why is it that they were doing that? What was the prayer request they were making that they were willing to declare loudly? And this is my understanding of it, even though I can't be totally dogmatic, but this is my understanding of it, that they were praying for something that had to do with somebody else. Nobody wants to pray for his wife, all right, or for himself, and he will not take a megaphone and be shouting. You are getting what I'm going to explain. You are not going to do that. You are not going to get up and start declaring your own personal problem in the open and say you want to impress other people. These people obviously were making prayers that were designed to impress people. And what was the prayer about? This is my own persuasion about it. They were praying for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. They were praying for the restoration of the kingdom of God. They were praying for things that was not about them. But the Lord Jesus said that these people are praying about those things because it was a national matter. Everybody was concerned about it. If you remember, when the Lord Jesus was about to be taken up to heaven, the last thing his disciples asked was, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? This was a national matter. They were all crying that time for the Messiah to come. So some people will come out and be saying it openly as a demonstration of their own piety to show to other people that, listen, we are very serious about this thing. So anytime they want to pray, they come and talk about it. Now, some people even carry it further. I'm talking about modern day now. Okay? They talk about how much they pray. Let me quickly say it. If anybody is telling you how much you pray before you got spiritual power, don't believe him. Are you getting my point? Don't believe him. Don't believe him. I pray for 6 hours, and then that's how God anoints me like this. I'm not saying he didn't pray for 6 hours. I'm not saying he's not anointed. Just discard what he said as if he said nothing. Do you understand? It may not mean it in a wicked way. Maybe he was also mistaught or misinformed. But you're not supposed to brag on things like that. Even if it worked that way, the moment you open your mouth and started declaring it, you have removed all the power inside it. Sometimes people say things like that. You know, people brag on how many days they have fasted, as if that is the source of their spiritual power. It most certainly is not. I like one thing Reinhold Bonnke said once. He said, if you say that's the cost I paid for spiritual power, then you are saying you bought it. That's what Reinhold Bonnke said. He said, that means it's a purchase. It's not grace. It's not an endowment. That means something that we purchased. Now, so people sometimes carry it to that particular extent also. But what I want to emphasize, which is the reason why I'm reading it, that's the reason why I'm reading it, is the fact that these people were actually praying about something that was important. It was the way some people did it that was wrong. And that is that important thing I want us to realize again today, all right, as Christians. Let me just emphasize again. I talked about this then. We're talking about how to pray for your loved ones. There is a reward for this ministry. I explained. There are prayers you pray, and these prayers, they actually have reward. Now, we are not doing them because of the reward, I keep on emphasizing, but when we do them, there is a reward. But the emphasis for us as believers is that we must be careful to do them. There was something the Lord Jesus Christ said. If you read further down, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There is a mistake we make in Christianity of today. That was verse 3 I read of that same Matthew chapter 6. One mistake we still make, which I'm trying to correct, I believe by the whole power of the Holy Spirit, in fact, I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to correct it for Christians to start praying properly. One mistake we still make is that we spend so much time in the body of Christ generally on ourselves when we are praying. Our prayers, go and check most of it, they are centered around us. Just look at the posters. Go attend prayer meetings in churches. I'm not talking about any particular church, not about Kingdom World Ministries or anything. I'm talking about the body of Christ generally. Most prayers are still on how do I get something that I want. And we teach extensively on it. Unfortunately, the Lord Jesus made it clear that we are not supposed to do that. In fact, he told us clearly here. He said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. He said, well, how do the Gentiles pray? They pray about what they will eat, what they will drink, and what they will wear. Let me add my own words now, because we can imply from those things. Which jobs, where will they get a job? How will they get their own houses? You understand? They need accommodation. Those are the things that occupy their prayers. He said, for you, it shouldn't be like that. Because your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things before you ask him. And he said, so what should you do with your prayer? He said, with your prayer, seek first the kingdom of God. He was talking in the context of prayer here. So when you are praying, with your prayer, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. I've said something to us before, that the depth, the extent to which we lack some things in our lives is a reflection of how much we are not seeking what is right. If we seek what is right, the Lord said other things will be added. My emphasis today, all right, I'm getting the principles back into the front of our minds. What I want to bring out today is talking about kingdom-centered praying, that we must remember, we must never neglect to make it an active part of our prayer lives as individuals, as Christians, individually. Because Jesus Christ emphasized here that take it into your closet. It's not only when we come out in church, all right? He said, take this prayer into your closet. You can pray it in secret. And he wasn't talking about your personal need. He was talking about the need of the kingdom. His emphasis at that time was on the kingdom. Now, let me review something that I've said more than 20 times in recent times, but I need to say it again. But this time around, I'll be careful to say for more than 2 minutes, okay? I want to say for more than 2 minutes. And that is the fact that nothing will happen until you and I pray about it. Did you hear what I said? It will not happen. If God wants to do something, you know what he does? He starts stirring up the desire. He starts stirring up the understanding of the need in the hearts of people. When God wanted to deliver Israel, interestingly enough, according to a promise that he made, the Holy Spirit had to go. Or an angel, whoever, went to Daniel and said, Daniel, Take your Bible. You've not read it in recent times. Daniel said, why not? He took his own Bible and opened the book of Jeremiah. And he was reading. And suddenly he stumbled on it somewhere that Jeremiah said the desolation of Jerusalem should be 70 years. He did a quick mental calculation and it was 70 years or 69, thereabout. And there was no deliverance in the air. So you know what he did? He began to pray. The Lord promised that they will be gone for 70 years. This is my understanding. We walk with God. You understand my point? Now, I'm not talking about walk with God. I mean work. We are working with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Work as in W-O-R-K. I hope my English, my pronunciation is queenish enough. Okay, work. All right. We are working with God. Please, that was for a purpose. You understand my point? So that you understand what I'm talking about. All right? So what we are doing is working with... No, I just want you to know what I'm talking about. That is all. Now, what I'm trying to say by that is that if God wants to redeem a nation, if God wants to redeem a people, if God wants to do something, even though he has promised, all right, he still comes to us and says, come, let's work together on this matter. And when he wanted to deliver Israel, the first thing he did was to stimulate Daniel so that Daniel now took that deliverance matter as a prayer point. He now began to pray. Please, let's never forget it. Another thing I should quickly emphasize is that those prayers that you pray, not for yourself, when I discussed it then, I was talking about praying for your loved ones. You pray in your closet. Closet means now implying privacy. Even if you don't tell somebody I'm praying for you, occasionally you tell people you are praying for them because it's an encouragement. Are you getting my point? Somebody's going through issues. You tell him, oh, my brother, don't worry, we are praying with you. It encourages the person. But sometimes the person doesn't know you. For example, now, assuming I want to pray for, let's take somebody like Bishop David Oyedepo. All right? I don't have to tell him, sir, I'm praying for you. It's irrelevant. Are you getting what I'm saying? He doesn't know me. My telling him that is not really very encouraging. Who are you? Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, many people praying for me anyway. Now, but, my emphasis, but, do you know God is actually answering the prayer if I'm praying for him? Let me really drop something for us, which we often overlook. You know, Samuel said something. He was speaking to Israel. He said, God forbid that I should sin against him by ceasing to pray for you. He was talking about the whole nation of Israel. That for him, Samuel, it was going to be a sin if he was not praying for the man, for the people. I want to say to us, sometimes, you know, many of us, we actually are sinning. There are different kinds of sins, all right? There are some unto death. There are some that are not unto death. But like I was in Lagos, somebody asked a question, which one is sin unto death? I gave him the answer I've given here before. I said, which one is the poison that kills faster or slower? Which one would you like to eat of the two? He said, none. I said, then don't worry. Once it is sin, ignore whether it is unto death or not unto death. That is, in your own life. Just go ahead and resist all of them. Now, what am I going to say here? Many times, actually, we are sinning by speaking. Let's take ministers of the gospel for a moment. We sit and criticize extensively and never utter a word of prayer for that person. You know, I've established something. God actually answers. He does. Many times we look at, don't mind these men. But we don't. Now, I understand that it may be difficult for us to just take everybody. But occasionally somebody is in your heart all the time. Because that's what God does. He stirs up people to pray for people. He does that. The reason is that if he wants to deliver somebody, what I want to say, I don't have time to explain it, I'll just make the statement. If he does not have somebody to pray for that fellow's deliverance, most times he can't do anything. I want to help this fellow. He's my servant. I know I sent him into ministry. He's about to get into trouble. The trouble may be devastating, either for the ministry or for his life. So what do I do? The Lord said, all right, I want to deliver him. What I need to do now is to raise up somebody to pray for him. I said it to us here before, when we were talking about how to pray for loved ones. Don't assume that God always finds. That is one assumption we've had for a long time, which is not true. The Lord does not always find. So if it falls upon you, don't assume if you don't do anything, somebody else will do it. You'll be amazed that many people you see out there, nobody, everybody just assumes, like they say, like we say in Igbo land here, the ghost that belongs to a whole village is the one that dies of hunger. You know that? So everybody just assumes that somebody else will give you something to eat. But the one that belongs to each individual, we know that this is mine. If I don't feed it, nobody will. So I take time out. So many times you'll be surprised. In fact, one brother said someone was in school. Very funny. He's now understand how funny it is. It was one of our big brothers. So he saw one sister, they were just talking. So he just said, ah, my sister, please be praying for me. You know what the sister said? Ah, pray for you. If we pray for you, who will pray for us? And she wasn't joking. No. She meant it like that. Then how can this brother say we should be praying for him? Oh, if you now need our prayers, then so who has been praying for us? Because it was one of those, oh, you could call Jim brothers in school. Those people that used to pray and pray and speak in tongues until the roof starts shaking. You know, lay hands, do Bible study, preach, do everything. And he was having challenges at that time. Many things. So now saw the sister, after Jesus, said, please pray for me. And that was it. Hey, that means we are in trouble. By the time you are needing prayer. What does that tell you? People like her, they were not praying for him. You can be sure, that's how most people in that fellowship, that's how they were. Nobody was praying for him. So let's assume that somebody will do it. I said that before, we're talking about how to pray for loved ones. My emphasis now, right now, okay, is that I'm using this minister as an example. Don't assume. Now, we sit down and say, what these people are doing is not right. What this person is doing is not right. But we hardly ever, very few Christians, anybody listening to this, go and check it. Look, most likely you haven't done it before. To take a man that you don't know personally, but you talk about, if you were not talking about him, it's different. And you take a few minutes. He does not know you are praying for him because he's not your friend. You don't call him. If you call him, he wouldn't pick. He doesn't have your number. You don't even know his number. Maybe you don't even go to his church. Yet you tell yourself or you tell you and your wife, say, listen, over the next 1 month, let's take 10 minutes twice a week and pray for this man. Why? This doctrine that he's preaching, he's leading the body of Christ astray. And he's a very influential person. Let us pray for him from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, that God will give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of his understanding will be enlightened. This thing that we know, he doesn't know it. And it is possible for you to know what somebody doesn't know. After all, Apollos came, he was preaching. Priscilla and Aquila called him and said, boy, come. It's not like that. Sit down. What you have said so far is very good and accurate. But it's another level of accuracy you haven't discovered. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain here. Now, I've tried to emphasize something. Let's not assume, now first, that God will not be able to do anything if that prayer is not offered. If the man is not praying for himself, and nobody is praying for him, the man will remain in his error for a very long time. If you pray for him, let me quickly say something, it does not mean 100% he will respond, because you can't force his will. The Lord can move upon him, and for certain reasons he resists, but that's his problem. But at least you have solved the initial issue. Now, this is the reward of prayer. Whether that prayer gets an answer or doesn't get an answer, it gets a reward. What I'm going to say is that when it comes to intercessory prayer like that, in which you are praying for somebody else, you are praying for a community, you are praying for a church, you are praying for the body of Christ generally. You take the body of Christ in Nigeria and you are praying. Now, whether you personally see the result or not shouldn't bother you. Because sometimes people pray prayers that the manifestation of those prayers will not come to pass for another 100 years. That's a matter of fact. There are things we are enjoying in Nigeria of today, in the body of Christ. The men who prayed those things, that the Lord used to pray those things into existence, they died 50 years ago. Prayer has measures. Prayer can be kept. The Lord does that. He stores the prayer up until the appropriate time. And that is why there's a difference between the reward and the answer. The man who is praying, he gets a reward. The answer is kept by the Lord until the time appropriate. You know, Kenneth Hagin told a story in one of his, many of his messages listened to, that there was a time a healing revival broke out in the United States. And before that time, he had noticed that there was a hunger in him for a healing revival like that. And that there were times he would wake up and discover that he had left his bedroom and he had come to near his fireplace in the sitting room to kneel down in a warm area to pray. He couldn't remember getting up. All he knew was that he woke up on his knees. You know what that meant? He woke up from the bed, got up to come and pray. He prayed until he fell asleep. And all he remembered was, I fell asleep in the room and I woke up here. But that's how much of praying he had done. If you read the story of Yonggi Cho, sometimes they go to South Korea and say, you want to go and learn how to build a 1 million mansion. You know, I keep on telling you that you can't learn it. Because if the people who watered the ground for Yonggi Cho, while he was not yet born, while he was yet a little boy, certain people were already praying in the place. They had prayed for decades before he came into ministry. Jesus said, other men labored. Then you have just come into their labor. In the kingdom of God, there are those who sow the seeds and there are those who reap the harvest. We see people who harvest. We go and learn methods of harvesting when nobody planted any seed. You see, Christians have gone to South Korea to learn how to buy spiritual combined harvester. The land has not been tilled. Now, I'm not sure it's not been tilled. I'm giving an example. They don't realize that except the land was tilled, something was planted decades ago, and this is the season to harvest it. It wouldn't work. You now wonder, how come the principle that Yonggi Cho used is not working? What you don't understand is that there was a season that he walked into. If you didn't walk into that season, you won't get that same result. That's why we have to locate what we are supposed to do each time and stop trying to follow somebody else's results. Those who planted the seed that man came to harvest, in their own lifetime, they would have been obscure. Nobody would have been talking about them all over the world as the people who know how to pray 1 million people into existence. No books are written about them. They didn't write any books. They just prayed in their closet and they died. For them, they had their reward. What's their reward? Doesn't concern me, doesn't concern you. It's just between them and their God. For the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the earth, some people prayed for him. We know the name of two of them. Both of them recorded in the book of Luke chapter 2. I said when God wants to do something, he stirs up the desire, the knowledge of the need in the hearts of people. So people pick up those things and they begin to pray. Anna prayed for decades. She was praying. Simeon was there praying. And Simeon saw that God gave him a revelation and said, this one, you will not die until that child is born. The day he was in the temple and he heard Jesus cry, the Holy Spirit just said to him quickly, that's him. That was the thing he was praying for. Listen, and God doesn't, if it wasn't important, he wouldn't stir them up. He wouldn't stir them up. It had to be important that they prayed. This is, again, my conviction. Those were just two people that we knew their names. The Pharisees prayed the same prayers, but it had no meaning. No reward, no result. Why? Their own was show. These people did not pray in open places. These people were not there praying just because the Bible gave us an insight into their lives. They were not trying to make a show. I'm not looking at the issue that for Mary to have been kept, for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to be delivered, those were the things that God wanted to do. Certain people were engineering them in prayer. Why? We work with him. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to you and I. So when he wants to do something on the earth, he stirs up your heart, he stirs up my heart, and he says, hey, you, go and pray about this thing. This is what I want to do. Because he can't just walk in and do it. I'm convinced that that's part of the reason why the nation of Israel was kept and preserved, to pick a few men. There may have been a few hundreds of them, like Hannah, like Simeon, a few people like that. And God trained them down. When the time was ripe, from their youth, he stirred them up, now begin to pray. Continue the praying. The intensity of the prayer will reach a crescendo that will break something open in the heavens. I said something to you before, that why did it take God 3 weeks to send Michael to go and help the angel that was sent to Daniel? Even though the Bible did not directly tell us, my understanding of it is that these are the things that were involved. Maybe other men needed to be raised here and there to assist this Daniel. Are you getting my point? And it was when their prayers reached a particular crescendo. Good. Now, they release Michael. Go and help. Because otherwise, how else will we explain that God sent an angel? He knew the prince of Persia was there to withstand him. Yet he did not send reinforcement. And the new reinforcement was important. Yet he waited for 3 weeks. Why? There must have been a reason. My teaching this evening is to let us understand our responsibility again. In the body of Christ right now, it's very easy for us because my message today is on kingdom-centered praying. It's very easy for us to point to what is wrong and what is right. It is very easy for us to point to what is deficient. But I'm saying to you that what God actually does is to stir up in the hearts of all of us that this thing is not right. You guys start praying for it. The other day, one of our sisters, the Lord showed her a revelation. And in that revelation, a great calamity happened in the body of Christ. Very interesting. And when she shared it, I communicated with her personally later. We talked. She said she tried with prayer. When she saw the calamity coming, she said he was praying using prayer to try and stop it. But in the vision, the thing definitely did not work. She was erecting barriers against the flood that was about to crash against the building. The barriers would go down. The barriers signified her prayers and the fact that the thing wasn't working. When I talked, I said something to her. I said, listen, you don't understand. It cannot, that your prayer will not work. I said, do you know why? That what is about to happen is an answer to prayers we have prayed. That the way we are doing certain things, God has to break them down. When God wants to bless, he said to Jeremiah, I have sent you out there. What you will do? You will uproot, you will overthrow, you will pull down and destroy. 4 things. I didn't give you the correct order. But he gave them 4 things to do. He said, then you will build and you will plant. 6 actions, 4 of them destructive. Go and read the story in Revelation. When the Lamb took the seal, the book, and opened the seals, the things that began to come to the earth, whoa, whoa, whoa. And this was the thing that John was praying that somebody would be able to release. What does that tell you? The woes, the destruction, the judgment that were to come, they were crucial to the birthing of the new Jerusalem. God had to first destroy and overthrow. He first had to pull down. You see, he first had to uproot. He had to do all of those things before he could bring in the new Jerusalem. So when my sister and I were sharing that day, I said, so don't worry. I said to her, everywhere you go, declare the vision. Declare the revelation. Pray some more and get understanding. And let people know that this is going to happen. Why? Because there has to be a purging. There has to be a cleansing. We cannot just fragment. Because you see, God won't say because we prayed, evil will now become good. You get my point? For example, if God says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to gather together in unity, for brethren to gather together in unity. And he talked about the blessedness that is like the oil that was poured upon the head of Aaron, that was falling down, all right, or his beard, down to the edge of his garment. If he says it's like the dew of Mount Hermon, what he's trying to say is that for the blessing to come, there has to be unity. So if he finds disunity, listen, and you continually pray for the blessing, you also have to get ready for him to break down walls. And this is interesting, but when he's breaking down the walls, there are 2 stages to it. The first one is he'll be nice about it. he sends people to go and preach and say, these walls are not good. Break down this wall. Like, what is his name? Reagan said to Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You understand? Yes. He says things like that. If you don't hear, the Lord will help people blow up these walls. Are you getting my point? And when he's blowing up the walls, there will be collateral damage. But you give a warning ahead so that when the walls are being blown up, somebody won't say, but we prayed for peace. How come we have having trouble? Because listen, the peace you prayed for, the blessing you prayed for, cannot come. These walls are obstructions in the path of the flow. A part of the river is going to come from that area. Another path will come from that area. Now, you guys have built barriers all over the place, and you call it the walls of your churches. What do you want me to do? Do you get what I'm going to explain here? This is how God works. So, and like I said before, if we don't pray the effective prayer, if we don't pray what is right, what we see is trouble. Yes, yes, yes. Because if things don't work spontaneously properly, people must put order into them. People must put order. My emphasis, like I said earlier, is how we pray for the body of Christ. It is important. When we see what is wrong, we have to say to God, remove what is wrong. Otherwise, he won't. He won't. He'll be looking at it too. This thing is wrong. In fact, you know, I told you that, of course, you've heard me say many times. The man, the prophet, Kenneth Hagin, I listened to him. I listened to him a lot, and I'm still listening to him plenty. So once in a while, I remember some of his stories because the Lord, he did a lot of prophetic teaching, so that gave us a lot of insight. I still remember the story he told about when he was having a vision, and an evil spirit jumped between him. The Lord was teaching him things in a vision. That's what the Bible actually calls revelation. That's what the Bible calls revelation. That's what it is. Not just you read the Bible, you understand something. We call that revelation. That's really not the meaning of the word revelation. Revelation is when you see things like that. So God revealed to him. So the Lord was giving you things by revelation. And an evil spirit came and jumped between him and the Lord. And to his amazement, the Lord kept on talking as if nothing was happening. So when you get to that junction, you turn right. After that, you take 5 steps. And he couldn't hear. You know, imagine somebody's describing the road to his house. And when you get there, all your problems will be solved. You get my point? And somebody is now making noise and he's on the phone. And the line is and he's talking as if nothing is going on. And he did not repeat himself. That's interesting. When I read that thing, I heard him teach about it. I said, Lord, why didn't he just repeat it for him? The Lord didn't repeat it. The evil spirit stood there and was making a lot of noise. My own understanding, because I haven't studied things over years, is that spiritual things are interesting. The Lord was in a particular realm. He was in another realm, but he thought it was right in front of him because there's the way it is. So, this spirit was literal Prince of Persia, that's what I'm saying, and just decided to make a smoke screen and a lot of noise. And he said there was nothing, that he was desperate, he was frantic. Out of desperation, he shouted to the spirit, shut up in the name of Jesus. That spirit kept quiet. To his amazement, the Lord said, well, it's good you did that. Otherwise, let me summarize this so I won't spend too much time on the story. If you didn't do that, you will have lost everything I want to say because I could not have done anything about it. And the emphasis was, I could not. That is, this is within your own jurisdiction. So God wants to bless us. He says, pray the right prayers. You want the kingdom to advance in your country? Pray the right prayers. You want the churches to be united? Pray the right prayers. There are people in power that will not want it because you not favor them. Kick them out in prayer. Are you getting my point? Literally kick them out in prayer. If you follow the way I pray about some of these things sometimes, of course, I don't mention names because you don't have the capacity to judge specific individuals. You don't know anybody. It's only what you see from a distance. But you will pray certain prayers that are general yet specific. What I mean is this. I can say things like, anyone who will stand and say, this kingdom will not advance, Lord, let his space be empty. Then you go and put yourself there. If you're a troublemaker, your space, do you understand my point, is about to become empty. I didn't mention your name. I don't know you. I may not even know you are there. Maybe you are in one state, in one corner. But because we prayed for the body of Christ in Nigeria, you've just lost your seat. But if we don't say such things, like when I was talking to my sister that day, she said, Banky, is it that we cannot withhold the judgment of God when it's about to come? I said, there are different kinds of judgments. There are some that are purification methods. It's like passing us through the furnace. God has to burn off the chaff, remove the dross, and bring us forth as gold. You can't say, Lord, don't bring fire. We know it's painful. We're not saying it's nice. But how else are we going to come forth as gold? If it's like, let's judge this sin so that people will die, then we'll say, God, please now. Then we'll ask for mercy. But if you say, let us clear this road, too many obstructions, we want the glory to flow, then better get out of the way and warn everybody, please, out of the way. The glory of God is about to be revealed. And as a prelude to that, there has to be cleansing according to prayers that the brethren have prayed. That's what you can do. I hope you're getting my point. I'm trying to lay emphasis for us again that we have a job to do. We have a job to do. I am persuaded that many of the things we see in our country, they don't just happen spontaneously. When you start having these groanings inside you, this anger now being righteous anger now, righteous, like this is not right. Corruption is not right. God has given you and I a duty. That's what I'm going to emphasize. And you know what he says? Go and pray about it. It's not a big show. In your closet, he will hear it. In your closet, he will hear it. Nobody needs to know you are talking about it. But I'm not emphasizing now that each one of us should take up this individual yet collective responsibility. That when we see what is wrong, we're talking about the advancement of the kingdom of God. Like last elections, you know, the church disgraced itself thoroughly. Oh, no, thorough disgrace. And it was fear of giants that was our problem. You hear all kinds of prophecies. No, anybody can prophesy. You understand my point? That's not the problem. It's when real Christians, real pastors, and they are prophesying. And they say, Jonathan will come back. God showed me that he will return. He's a man for the hour. And they printed it in the newspaper. No, but apart from that, listen. No, we did very badly. We did badly. It's not because of the prophecies. It's not because of prophecies. One of our friends, somebody actually called me to report him to me, organizing rallies and crusades in support of Goodluck Jonathan. This was long before the election. I said, tell him that what he's doing is wrong. What are we supposed to do as individuals? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We pray. Especially so that such things don't repeat themselves. Because Shedan was a national skill. This is how they were doing it locally too. Yes, people, churches, PFN. And when we do things like that, you know what we do? What happens to us? We lose respect. We lose credibility. That's my emphasis actually. We lose credibility. On a national scale, my own suggestion, of course, nobody was listening to me. What I would have suggested is that the camp should have gone to both parties. APC, PDP, and even those small people, you never can tell what God will do in their lives. All those 13, the rest of the 13 that contested the election. Say, this is our prayer for you. This is our demand when you are in office. And the demand must not be we Christians. No, it will be for justice, equity, transparency, honesty. Do you get my point? And then you now give them a breakdown of the prayer you have prayed for them. All the righteous people will be elevated and they'll be prolonged in office. You let it be clear. And you write your amen boldly. So that when you win, I want you to know that there will be trouble in your soul if you don't fall. And once you are not saying we need money, they will take you seriously. I don't know whether you get my point. If what you wrote there is that, listen, as the people of God in this country, this is our demand. If you ever enter into office, you will pursue justice, righteousness, peace. You give a few examples and breakdown of things that is right, that every person whose head is on his neck, we know this is righteousness. They now put below, these are the blessings of God for him that doeth these things. And this is the judgment of God for the people that do the opposite. In Jesus' name, amen. Serve each part. And then you come to church, declare those words, preach it to your people, let it be their mentality. Then when they go there, vote for anybody you like. Believe me, you have credibility. Now, what am I trying to say in all of this? That's what we as Christians are supposed to do. We pray. We don't just observe things, pass comments, and settle down. You see something that's wrong? You go into the closet and utter prayers about it. You call a few of your friends. What is going on in this our church is not right. You are part of a denomination that is big. Once I went to see an elderly man. Now, I want to use his words, all right, to explain what I'm going to say. I said, your church is part of a very big denomination in Nigeria. I said, sir, this is your church. You people are trying, no? That is they are the ones, if you have to put that is as a denomination. I don't know about in Western Nigeria or Northern Nigeria, but in Eastern Nigeria, where I live, I said, I will give them number one as a denomination that's preaching the word of God more than any other. And when I say denomination, I mean including the Pentecostals. Yes, that's my impression. It is my what? Opinion. Most of these recent Pentecostal churches that have hundreds of branches, I look at them with suspicion. No, I'm being honest with you. I'm not, should I lie? No. Okay, I shouldn't say it, but I'm teaching now. If I don't say it, how would you know what I'm saying? There are some of them I'll be looking like this and say, this is, in fact, there's one in my mind. As far as I'm concerned, all those people there, not up to 75% are born again. Not up to 25% are born again. Of the 25% that are born again, in my estimate, which can be wrong. Where you should follow me is scripture. You get my point? When it comes to things like statistics, I'm thinking off my head. I said, don't mind, Pastor. You can just think like that. It's fine. Okay? So this one I'm telling you now, you can think like that. The churches I just look at, I say, these people, they are not Christians. Like, as far as I'm concerned, of the 25% that are peradventure believers, not up to 15% of those 25% know what they call Christianity, even though they will go to heaven. But they say, other 75%, they say, just don't die now, otherwise you go hellfire. Like I said, it's what? My opinion. I may be wrong. So back to the main thing I was saying. So I was telling this man that I was very impressed with their church. Then he made a statement, which is why I'm talking about it. That these are things that they pray. That's why I'm talking about it. That these are things they prayed about for a long time. That these are the visions they had, and they began to pray. And that essentially, God has now opened the door, and truth has flooded into the place. Now, this church I'm telling you about, there are people who leave Pentecostal churches and go there for ordination. You know what I'm telling you is the truth. I can count. And they are welcome. Oh, they are welcome. In fact, they particularly like it if you're a Pentecostal, you know. They know you know how to preach. They know you speak in other tongues. They know. So they like it. Bring it inside here. They'll give you one parish. Go there and exercise your gift. They are not threatened by you. Don't worry. They are not threatened. You know, we Pentecostals, most of us think that they'll break off and go and start a branch. And then they'll carry our members. They are not afraid of it. And because of that has been my observation. Do you understand? I mean, that's the church which as a denomination I've preached in more than any other one. That's happened to me before that I'm standing here. Three different groups came from three different dioceses to ask me to come and preach at the same time. I thought they knew each other. I was sitting there after Bible study one day. So I just assumed, since all of them were from there, I assumed that they were from the same place. No, they said, we came from this diocese. No, they came from this diocese. You don't know yourselves? No. I've had their bishops sign letters inviting me to come and teach. The bishop doesn't know me. The guy just said, okay, this man knows how to teach. Let's call him. Bishop said, no problem. Where do I sign? Sign here. So our bishop is inviting you. And I'm not the only one. I was watching one man on TV once, and he was thanking them for the amount of open. He was teaching, runs his own ministry, and I think even pastors a church. And he was talking about the open door that he has had in that denomination. And he's not a member. I was talking to this old man that day. He said, these were the things we prayed about. Like we say, no be ordinary aisle. That we prayed It took a long time, but God finally did this one for us. What am I trying to say to us? If the body of Christ will go beyond where it is right now, if the outbreak, like, okay, of course, you know now, even honest people don't like talking about money because you know what I'm talking about. The money thing is a problem. But you know that problem can come to an end. Yes. So I have to sit down all the time and just be getting angry. Well, just occasional individual, like I'm trying to emphasize the individuality now. Individuals here and there say, no, this is not right. What we are doing, as we are teaching the world your truth, is not right. We are giving a wrong impression. And you utter certain words, which I don't have time to start looking, you know, breaking them down bit by bit, which you have in the scriptures to show that this thing, for example, there's one very good one. God says, I will give you pastors after my heart, who will feed you with what? With knowledge and with understanding. Now, I told you, if God wants to do something, he still says, who will walk with me? And there are two levels of walking. The first level is the prayer level and prophesying level, before the physical level. What I mean is that Daniel prays, Daniel prophesies, all right? And then Cyrus comes and physically liberates Israel. For us in the body of Christ, especially when it comes to things like that, there are two sides also. The first level of walking with the Lord is the praying and the prophesying level. And then God now begins to stir up. The word there, pastors there, is actually shepherd. And he was talking about those who teach and instruct people in the way of the Lord. You understand? God now starts raising people here and there. But before he does that, there will be one person that never entered into ministry at all, who will never go into the preaching ministry, who will have been praying that prayer. And he says, God, in this area, we need better understanding. So what are we saying? Lord, send laborers into that field. Jesus Christ said literally, the harvest is plenty, but laborers are few. He said, what do you do therefore? What did he say? He said, pray the Lord of the harvest. That is, talk to the Lord. Say, this harvest is plenty. Laborers are few. So Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. When you pray like that, start stirring up people, start teaching them, start stirring them people up. People start showing up. And then if you're one of those people praying and it stirs you up, you join. If it doesn't, you leave it and enjoy it from a distance. And continue what? Praying. And if time will come, that thing will come to an end. You see, this day, you see, when I was a young believer, we learned a lot about spiritual gifts and stuff like that. But that teaching is not common to this. I don't know whether you noticed it. Not very common. It's not common. Churches don't emphasize it on it much. When I was a young Christian on campus, you will laugh, I tell you this. If you wanted to take Panadol, you hide though. Paracetamol. Do you know paracetamol? Nobody will say anything, no, but you'll be looking like, this guy ain't got faith, man. He's a sense knowledge man. Do you know? They are walking by sense knowledge. One of my friends actually told me once, all this kind of faithlessness, I don't get time for them. Why? I get malaria. Did you hear what I said? I had malaria, and what he told me was that he doesn't have time for all this kind of faithlessness. Why? He came and he prayed for me and I refused to get well. I felt very bad that day. And he was like, what kind of nonsense is this? I remember one of our brothers said, hey, that one. He was sick. He was shivering, like trembling. So he called me, said I should wake the other guy up. So I woke him up, said, this man said I should wake you up. So I went and called another one. I called him. He said, what, now I'm sleeping. Well, what is it? He said, the guy said, look, I'm feeling very sick. So I'm calling upon the elders to come and pray, anointing with oil. Campus students. So. And that guy said, hey, okay, you know, if I talk soon, I'm waiting. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. No, that's the attitude. You understand? I'm not joining because I'm not the elder. I was looking at him like this. And they laid hands on this guy. To my amazement, now, whether he got well or not is not the issue now. He got well, but it's what he did that I want to tell you about. Trembling, he got up, took his towel, went to bathroom, you know, shivering, had a cold shower. Rubbed cream on his body, dressed or carried his bag and went out. Even if you are the devil, you will run. That is, no. These people were my roommates, too. I told the room I came from, you can't be there and not preach. You were in that room, you will preach. In fact, two of them, that guy that was saying, he and the one that was sick, when they are praying, they could shake the building down. I'm serious. I told you that my roommate, when they want to quarrel, their quarrel is not on, you took my money, you didn't pay it back. Who has time for that one? Is no. Which version are you reading? That's the quarrel. No, that's King James. That's Old English. You are the manuscripts are not accurate. Let me get that is argument on who quoted. Father in heaven. That I'm preaching today is not a surprise. That was where it began. Now, I'm not emphasizing something now. No, those days really. I don't know about now, but then you go to campus fellowships. It's prophecy, word of knowledge, and things like that. But now it's prosperity. We sow all kinds of seeds. We learn all the bad habits and bring it into schools. Now find small boys say they are pastor. They don't have PA on campus. I've told them. They are already learning to be saved. Children. A fellow student, two of you are the same cost load. He's your PA. Listen, go and tell them. I don't want to mention the fellowships that do that nonsense a lot. Let me not mention their names here. Go and tell them, if you know them, that I said, any one of them that want to go far in life, stop that nonsense. You are too early to be saved. It's not the time to be saved. What are you doing that we did not do on campus? I was the president of my fellowship as a 50-year medical student. What are you doing that they do that they didn't do on campus? Those who were not in medical school had to come to school 2 weeks early and leave after everybody has left. And we didn't get paid a dime. When you even need money, you can't ask because you're a leader. And they're already taking offering for small boys. And having PA. I'm going to wear ugly suit. May a thief steal it in Jesus' name. Honestly, some of these are... Go and tell these big men. They're spoiling these children. You're spoiling them. What are they doing wearing suit? Wear a t-shirt. Wear old sandals. And do the will of God. I'm serious. I don't know. We're spoiling children. Small girl. When you should be cooking for sick people. I'm in school. That's what brethren. You get what I'm saying? I raise shoulder. Oh, Makikere can call me small pastor. This. That's why their lives are not straight. Now, how did we get there? What were we talking about, though? I'm talking about, we're praying for spiritual things. I'm talking about the focus on spiritual things. Yes, I remember now. Now, why did I go into all of this? Listen, those kind of things, listen. In body of Christ today, I think we need literally a revival of such things. Emphasis on what is true. Emphasis on what is right. But it will not happen spontaneously except you and I begin to pray about it. We have to pray for the body of Christ that it will be so hard for all these false prophets to deceive them. Yes, we need to pray to that extent. That people will just see him, they just know this guy is a fake. He's a fake man, just fake. Before a lot of Christians don't know there are familiar spirits. They think once it's supernatural, it is Christian. Spiritual spirits are just there harassing them. What we need is a revival of truth. Are you getting my point? The body of Christ has to come to a place again, this nation and beyond, where and truth, the teaching of truth, the manifestation of the Spirit becomes the focus of all our gathering. You know, in the body of Christ, in the book of Acts, unbelievers were afraid to join. When Ananias dies in front of you, you leave the church. Ananias dies in front of you. Sapphira joins.
The Bible says all men were afraid to join themselves to them. They were gathered in the temple. He said, have you believed? Lie, no, I have not believed yet. Even though he wants to believe. Even though he wants to believe. But believing is risky. Before you tell one lie now, this Peter will just say that, you know. When Peter points to you, they bury you. Say, no, I'm not believing yet. Thank you. I can't imagine a corrupt politician going to that church. Peter will slay you fast. Peter had this nose for picking financial liars. Did you notice that? No, Peter was very good with that. Thank you. When Simon the sorcerer came to him, he said, man of God, God bless you. That anointing, I want my portion of it. Peter was looking at him. The guy said, oh, okay, I can pay. I'll bring out a special seed to tap the anointing. By the time Peter was through with the guy had to beg Peter to please pray so that these things that Peter has said will not come upon him. Because when he came on Ananias and Sapphira, the Lord is good. No, we need a church that regularly heals the sick, regularly raises the dead. Are you getting my point? We need a church that's known for true signs and wonders, not GSM number calling. We need a church that when we preach, people know that they don't need to be told. We don't need to be persuaded. They know we are not looking for their money. They know. It's not about, let's explain what we are doing with money. It is the church we are building with it. They just know we can't possibly be looking for their money. Listen, such things don't happen just because we wish for them and criticize so much. It's because individually we understand the necessity for it. And in our individual closets, we begin to pray and say, Lord, send laborers into your harvest field. Open our eyes that we will see truth. Every seat that is elevated, that is the people who occupy those seats, will not let truth move forward. Lord, remove their seat. We're not saying just that seat. Let the man drop to everybody at this level so that he doesn't have power again to obstruct the progress of truth so that he too will be saved. Who doesn't need salvation? Bishops need it. Archbishops need it. Every church member needs it. After all, we get to heaven, you know it's the same queue. There's nothing like bishops on this side. If you're an archbishop on the earth, on this side, nothing like that. Please, I hope you've gotten my point today. I hope you've gotten my point. So let's not forget it. The emphasis again is the individual effort. There's something that you just remind us of that I said at the beginning. He said, when we do these things, he said, indeed, there is a reward. That's what he's talking about. For the advancement of the kingdom, prayers that you pray is not for your food, it's not for your clothing, it's not for your own children, it's not for your own promotion, it's not for your own cars, not your own houses, nothing. Just prayers you pray that God, this kingdom must advance. This kingdom must advance. Now I'm talking about praying prayers that have reward. Such attitudes, what I'm talking about, that this thing is important. I don't know the person personally, the man of God doesn't know me personally, but truth is important to me, so I pray for him. And listen, God answers. God answers. The Lord actually answers. And he needs those prayers. Please, he needs them. To get to a level, you will get boldness. Let me end with that, because I won't talk about it in details, but I just want to end with it. A time comes with maturity, boldness, understanding, all of them put together. You start doing things like Elijah. No Elijah. Okay, Elijah just comes to Israel. Say, this is where the prosperity is their problem. Let there be no dew or rain until I say so. Was he angry with anybody personally? No. He was just angry with idolatry. So he placed a curse upon the land so as to turn the people away from idolatry to the serving of the true God. It gets to a point, you know, as a body of Christ, we will get to that point, we have to do some of those things. Sometimes we get to a point, we'll have the power. Of course, maybe not 1 million of us, but some of our elders will get us somewhere and pray certain crucial prayers for a country. It gets to that point. It's not every, the mercy of God is not always God be nice, be nice. And I say, God, wait, it's good to be nice, but this guy needs some hard hand. This disturbance of the gospel is not good in this area. So let's twist them a bit. So there are scriptures that cover it. Now I say, Lord, when thy judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants thereof they learn righteousness. So bring your judgment upon this area, that they might learn righteousness. What they have done so far, we don't like it, we don't agree with it. That is what they call kingdom praying. I hope you've gotten my point. Let me stop here. If there's any other thing, I'll finish it off next time. Can we rise to our feet? Let us close. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks once again for the privilege, the priestly privilege to be able to walk with Him. Let us thank Him that we are able to approach unto Him. And let's begin to say like Samuel, God forbid that I should sin against Him in not praying for the body of Christ in this nation. That God forbid that I should sin against Him. Let's just begin to confess that word. Because as you declare those words, the word works. I say all the time, the word works. The word works. That word begins to work in you. It causes you to remember. The Holy Spirit can now bring somebody to you. Of all the people that you see and you are concerned about, the Holy Spirit may just put two or three on your heart. Pray for this preacher. Pray for this denomination. This one, you are a part of it. I want you to be the one praying. You will think you are the only person. That's the interesting part. Elijah thought he was the only person in Israel. That's what he thought. But doesn't matter. Keep on thinking so. It's even better so that you will intensify it. So God begins to work on you as you declare those words. So that's why you should declare. Say, Lord, this is what your word says, using the words of Samuel. Using those words of Samuel, say, God forbid that I should sin against Him by ceasing to pray for the body of Christ, in ceasing to pray for the kingdom of God. Samuel was referring specifically to the nation of Israel. And that was the kingdom of God on the earth that time. Say, Lord, I will pray for the church. I will pray. When he talks about seeking the peace of Jerusalem, I've heard all kinds of teachings. Some say it's the physical Jerusalem, that one that they are fighting over all the time. I do not have that understanding. The understanding I have is that all these things are confirmed only in Christ, and that Jerusalem speaks about it as a type of the body of Christ. So seek the peace of Jerusalem. He said, they will prosper that love it. As you do this, listen. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I believe we should spend more time praying like this and less time praying on our own problems. Because when we do that, many other things the Lord Jesus Christ said, every other thing actually He said, will be added to us. So let's declare the word of God, that I will seek the peace of Jerusalem. I will declare prosperity within her walls, peace within her palaces. Let's really take one prayer point. Say, Lord, send your truth once again into your body, in our nation, first of all. Any country you are in, that should be your primary concern. That in this nation, the body of Christ, let it be filled with truth. Fulfill that word, Lord, which you have spoken. That I will give you pastors or shepherds after my own heart. They will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. So, Lord, send. Send those laborers into this harvest field. The harvest is very important at this point. Let it not decay. Send your laborers, Lord, into the harvest field. There are many churches that have been built nationwide for different reasons. So, Lord, once it is called a church and it was started by true Christians or a true Christian, let truth enter the place. Even if that truth has to displace those who are in charge currently, let it enter. But let everywhere that your name is called, Lord, let it be a place where your spirit will dwell and your truth will be daring. Ask the Lord, say, let there be an outpouring of this power of your spirit again so that we will be a church that heals the sick, a church that opens blind eyes, a church that raises the dead,
So that as we preach your truth, let signs and wonders follow us. We don't want to be a politically connected church. That's irrelevant. Lord, as a body, we don't want to be in politics. Let our brethren be there and spread righteousness. But as a body, no. We are not politicians. We are a power people. We are a truth people. We declare the truth of God, and the Lord confirms the word with signs and wonders following. So, Lord, empower us again. Fill us with your spirit once again, that we may declare your word with boldness. Let us give him thanks, because indeed he hears our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. Please bless somebody on your left and on your right.